Well, welcome back, everyone. Paul Harmon here. Thank you for joining me this morning. Wasn't worshiping Jesus, our Savior, refreshing? I trust that it was for you. That's the beauty of just gathering together on a Sunday morning. Hey, and as we gather, as you're aware, we have three services on Sunday. Two of those are live stream right now online, 9 and 11. But our 10 a.m., it's our in-person gathering. And it's happening today. We're so excited. We remember back when we began our in-person services, July the 19th. But today, we are celebrating our gathering by a luncheon, welcoming people back to church. And so I just want to encourage you to let you know what's going on. We actually, as we have people come into the outdoor arena under a tent, they get their temperature checked. They are ushered in, and naturally, social distanced masks are required. And the latest, because we love being together, and there are those that want a hug and those that do not want to come close to people for good and obvious reasons, we're now issuing green bands on people's wrists for those that want to be hugged, and red bands, so no explanation needed. Please keep your distance, but I'm sure glad to talk with you and see you. I hope that would entice maybe a few of you. I know many of you are watching and participating online from a distance, so thank you so very much for that. We're grateful for the way that God is using our ministry here at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, and the great way that your comments, your participation, be it by just reason of prayer requests or by even your contributions, you're part of this ministry and what God is doing really globally, because we're missions-minded here at Hope Chapel. Well, once again, let me pray. Let's get into the Word of God. I trust you have your Bibles in hand. We will have some scriptures that are available for you to observe right there in your screen. So, Father, thank you for the time that we have right now. It's a significant time. Nothing is ever wasted. Everything's purposeful, and everything turns out for good, because we're here gathered in your name. You're here with us, and whatever the condition or situation any of us are facing, turn it out for good, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, we've been in a series entitled Harvest of Hope. Today, we're going to begin a part five as well of that series, but the message is entitled The Hope in Hope Chapel. The Hope in Hope Chapel, but take a look at the line underneath. It's the contagious place when everyone serves, when everyone serves. We are now picking up momentum here at the church, and we're finding there's a great need for people to come back and to serve not only their church, but the community, even globally. It becomes contagious. And I want to redeem that word, because I know we're really facing a cautionary environment because of the pandemic. And so that we know what the word contagious means, it spreads. And that's what serving together in a community with large groups, it's very contagious, very encouraging. Many of us are aware of the phenomenon in social media. When something goes viral, which means that when something is posted, you might have seen that happen for your own post, that within days, maybe even hours, millions of people have either seen or liked or really shared, and it goes off, and that's the word viral. We wanted to remind ourselves that's really like the church when it becomes so catchy and people enjoy serving. It is interesting, in 2019, probably one of the most prominent images that went viral, probably 25 million likes, was this image right now. Take a look at that. Pretty funny, that egg went viral and had the most hits and most shared elements. And so you just never know what it is when it comes right down to that, because we're looking here as the church steps back into our role in our community and in the world. Serving together is very contagious and it's exciting. That is the hope in Hope Chapel. Now, we're continuing to see this harvest of hope. People are coming. They're not only getting put together and encouraged and enriched, but Lord, how can we individually serve you and in that It's very, very contagious. We know the pandemic has put a lot of us and our efforts and our works and our talents kind of on the shelf, but not today. Today's a big day. And as we saw even last time we were together in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, just two phrases to mention. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The church, that is, you, all of us together. Jesus says, you don't wait to become salty. You don't wait to become the light. You are now. Isn't that great? In other words, salt was it's an ancient preservative that was used to keep things from spoiling, to keep things from rotting, to remove the church from culture of society would cause things to start to rot, to decay. And aren't we seeing that? A lack of the influence of the church in society. We're also the light of the world. Man, I like that very much. And we recognize that when light's removed, darkness ensues, and that really is a pattern of evil. Darkness comes, evil is developed in our society. We're certainly seeing that. Boy, the world needs the church, the influence of the church. The hope of our culture, especially in downtown Huntington Beach, is the church. Let's not put all of our confidence in a political situation. Let's remove and stop adopting that foolishness. It is you and me, the church of Jesus, that transforms society because Jesus comes to transform the human heart. So when Christians serve, it creates a very contagious environment. That is what we're seeing in your church here at Hope Chapel and in the community all around. People are seeing what God is doing. People are hearing what God is doing. And they're viewing, and they're liking, and they're sharing, and they're certainly experiencing that together. But it requires all of us, and that's really today's message. It requires all of us to serve in some capacity. It's contagious to our culture. The amount of times that people will come, Pastor Paul, I hear what's going on at Hope Chapel. Even this week, two people, I hear what God is doing. I saw a person that goes to your church, and my heart was so excited because they were excited. It's contagious when people serve. And how is that when regarding all of us serving the Lord? Let's take a look at some points here that we have today. When everyone serves, number one point, the mission is contagious. When everyone serves, and we all see ourselves jumping in, the mission becomes contagious. I've got two passages I want to share with you right now. First is Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, and it's the command to love. Very familiar passage, but let's take a look at it together. It's from the New King James. It says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there is no other commandment greater than these." The commandment to love God and to love people. Another command that Hope Chapel embraces and has actually applied to our mission statement is found right there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then the Bible says, amen. But it's a command to love in Mark. It's a command to make in Matthew. Go make disciples. And it's not just a few people doing this. Please understand, that's really what we're just wanting to draw our attention to. It won't happen with just a few people. It will never happen. It'll take us much more time. And we don't have that amount of time. It takes everyone. It's contagious when everyone is involved in the mission. Everybody gets excited about that. Vision is contagious. Mission is infectious. It's exciting when that is. You start seeing people out there, and God's moving people. People are applying themselves. People are contributing to. It's wonderful. I like Proverbs 29:18, let me just phrase that. It says, where there is no vision, the people basically perish. People need to say, hey, what are we doing? Where are we about? Who are we at Hope Chapel? Let me just remind you, let me just throw that out there, because Hope Chapel has a mission statement. Here's Hope Chapel's mission statement, and it says basically, love God and to love people by reaching out across the street and around the world to make functioning followers of Jesus Christ. We merge both Mark's message from Jesus, love God, love people, with also the great mission of the church, go make disciples. It's right there. Love God and love people. How will that appear? By reaching out across the street and around the world to make functioning followers of Jesus Christ. Transformation of an entire community or communities. How will that take place? Well, Jesus calls us. We recognize as a church, Hope Chapel, there's three areas we are called in this mission. First of all, letter A, spiritual transformation. We recognize that's important for people. Go make disciples, baptizing them. Teach them what I've taught you. Spiritual transformation. Those are important ways when a person starts to see transformation in their heart and they want to start to follow Jesus. We are looking for people. We're asking God, Lord, show us the unchurched. They need to find their way to you. Lord, show us those who are basically believing they're Christians and all they felt they had to do was just pray to receive Christ, pray that prayer, but nothing further has come about of their life. Can you imagine standing before Jesus and they just are there and the Lord just says, well, I'm glad you're here. You're all here because of what I've done. That's true and evident, but what else have you done, Paul, with your life prior to my redeeming qualities? So we want people to be transformed, spiritual transformation. Letter B, there's also something we're called to, social transformation. Not just more spiritual transformation, but social transformation. Jesus addressed the social issues in his day. Matter of fact, if you look with me for a moment, because I really like, and I'll just mention that, Proverbs 11:11, if you were to look, it just literally says that the blessing of the upright literally causes a city to be exalted. Isn't that nice? But look at Matthew 25, verse 35 and 36 with me. Jesus says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. So you can imagine that. If you look down to verse 40, because they're saying, when did we actually do that for you, Jesus? And he said this in verse 40, same chapter 25 of Matthew. And the king will answer, wow, and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So we want to impact our community. We want to really take a look and transform our society, our social transformation. So significant. It's so important. That's why we are dealing with our theme this year, oneness of purpose in 2020. Everybody coming together, building momentum, doing what we can for our social elements, areas like Brown Bags of Hope, drive-through prayer, our STN gatherings, feeding the hungry, our adopt a pastor this Christmas. Man, there's some great things. Our Meals on Wheels for those that are needing that. It's an amazing thing. I'm sure I've probably overlooked a few others, but to address people who are weighed down by hurt, by hangups, who are weighed down by habits, we are looking for in our society. Lord, how can we transform our social area? That's important. And it gets exciting when we do that together. Again, not just a few people are going to be able to make that transformation. It takes all of us. It becomes contagious when that happens. Well, letter C, is the economic transformation. Now, When we talk economic transformation, some people might pull back and say, should we really be interested in that? Yes. You remember when we were together, we looked at Jeremiah 29, verse 7 from the New Living Translation. Says this, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you, and pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Wow. God's interested in the peace and prosperity of a city and the church, you and I together. We recognize if there's no peace in a city, if people don't have opportunity to prosper, they resort to violence. That's how things work. But God cares about the economy of people and civilization. He cares about people having jobs and able to make their bills. People care, and so does God. God works to make sure. He grieves over poverty. So God is holistic, don't you think? I do. I think it's great. God cares about the entire person, and he really does want his church to care for people as well. That's the economic transformation. So we look for ways to positively impact the economy of Huntington Beach. God continues to keep us here in downtown Huntington Beach. We recognize there are still a great deal of need here. It's amazing. People can't afford really rent here, so we find that there's 3 to 5 roommates in one small bedroom house or apartment or really a modular. It's quite interesting. The needs are great, and the mission done together is compelling. It's exciting, and it changes whole communities when we're together at that. I sure like that. It's contagious, and I want you and I to consider how we can continue to do it. It becomes even more contagious every time we see more people jumping in, more and more contributing and giving. Let's take a look at number 2. When everyone serves, the miraculous is contagious. Now, God wants to bestow the miraculous in society. I am convinced of that. And I'm even confident that you're wanting and desiring to see the miracles of God, the power of God. And as more and more people are now serving, can you see our note really is when everyone serves, the miraculous is contagious. We will see more miracle moving power of God. That's happening. Let's check it out here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, within you. There's a power that is ready to be released in you. He's able to do it, able to do it. It's amazing when we see more people starting to serve God, then more miracles happen. The amount of times that people say, boy, I'm sure praying for the miracles, Pastor Paul, at our church, I really want. Well, I wonder if any of those who are questioning that or desiring that, if they want to be a part of that. And all it would require is just more of us when everyone serves, the miraculous power of God is seen, and it becomes very contagious. I'd like you to take a look, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. I want to read it from the New Living Translation. I like the way it phrases it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Our point here, point 2, the miraculous is contagious. Please recognize power of God is for his thing. The power of God is not for your thing. Power of God is to move on God's agenda. That's important. Please remember that. I remember that. It's like, Lord, man, I'm going to believe for this need. I'm going to trust you for this breakthrough of my life and family. And he's interested in all that. We just discussed the element of the social, really, elements. But, oh, to serve God as a community, group of Christians in our community, or where you live, that you jump on board and say, man, I'm going to get back into fellowship in the state that you live in, or even the nation. Some of you are watching us from other nations, Canada and Germany, Finland. Thank you for that. Some of you are in Spain right now, and we thank you for those updates. But Lord, help us all to see what it is for the miraculous, the power of God. His power is there in you to empower your life, to empower your life. So the more people serving, the more power we'll see happening. That's really how it works. That's what it's all about. There are some that do resist serving, and there's reasons for people who will resist serving. They have issues or reasons or maybe excuses. I want to just take a look at to get past a few barriers so that we can embrace and all come in to say, man, let's serve God. The hope in Hope Chapel. It's everybody serving. Letter A, here's a barrier. Check it out with me. The barrier of wrong beliefs. When people come along and say, I'm not qualified. God's not going to use me. Man, my life's too messed up. What do I have to contribute? I am not anyone who can make a difference. Boy, that's a wrong belief. That's a barrier. It's a wrong belief. We have to be careful because usually people with wrong beliefs like that are evaluating themselves or comparing themselves using a worldly perspective. Don't do that. Let the Lord show you who you are in Him. Let God, by His word and by godly men and women, show you who you are. That worldly perspective, and you're not allowing a kingdom perspective to just promote and enhance, watch out, step out and believe, I am who God's word says I am. Faith releases power. Faith releases power. I believe God's word. I believe what God has for you, and your life has already made a difference. Let's keep at it till the day of Jesus. Well, another barrier, letter B, the barrier of fear. The barrier of fear where we have wrong beliefs that will always lead to fear. We talked about deceptions. We're in an age of deception, and people who buy into a deception really think it's true, but it's nothing but a lie. But the barrier of fear, wrong beliefs will always lead that. We fear failure. We fear the unknown. People fear hurt. They fear criticism. It is fear that stops people from serving. They want to serve. They're just afraid. We have to get past fear. You say, well, Pastor Paul, how do I get past fear? Here it is. You step toward what you're afraid of. You know God is wanting, or it's a God thing to do. You step toward that because obedience brings power. Obedience makes you strong. Fear makes you weak. So to work through that, fear wants to really rob you of the greatest days of your life to experience all that God has. Together, when everyone serves, it's contagious. When we see people come, do, and apply, does not matter what it is, but serving together, it's contagious, and it's powerful. So that's why even in our today at 10 a.m. service, we've handed out ministry slips for people to consider. You might be afraid to even talk to somebody about serving. That's one of those fears. You might be afraid to even sign up for anything. That's one of those fears. I'm just asking you, would you consider the best way to defeat that fear, really, is not only in the name of Jesus, but to say, I will step toward that area that I'm afraid of. Go talk to somebody. Go sign up. Call the church office. Say, I'd like to talk to Pastor Paul. I'd like to talk to the pastoral team and just see where a need is. I'd like to fill it. Praise God. Be so exciting. Letter C, here's another barrier. Let's take a look. The barrier of past experiences. Now, some of you may say, been there, done that. You might even say, not again. And I feel bad for people who have been hurt when they have served. They've gone out and they've worked hard, and I just got to say, you're not alone. I feel for you who have been hurt by serving in some capacity. May not even necessarily be in a church setting. Could be in a family setting. Could be even in your work environment setting, and it just didn't go well, and you're hurt. But let me say something. You who are hurt and use that as a reason not to serve, that is not your get out of serving Jesus free card. All of us have experienced pain in serving God. All of us have come across areas of unpleasant ministry experiences. Most people does not keep them back from doing that. Let's please be realistic in our expectations. Oh, the amount of times that people say, man, I'm going to just preach and people are going to well receive me. I remember my first church we went to. I thought, man, I am going to revolutionize this whole pass area. I could barely get my head off the ground the first 2 years. It's like, what? I'm here to help you. And I didn't realize sheep do bite. But I thank God. I can tell you, I've had ridiculous amount of difficult, crazy, painful serving experiences. But you know, I've learned great power, great influence, and more kingdom because of my ability to continue on regardless of what happens. It's amazing. So more of God's influence comes when people realize, wow, they really do care about what they're doing. They really do desire to do best. God wants the miraculous nature of his church to expand even more. And how will that happen? When it's becoming courageous and very infectious for all of us to step out and start serving together. When we all embrace our part of allowing God to use our life to serve in some role. Number three, let's take a look at that. When everyone serves, the momentum is contagious. When everyone serves. And look at the word momentum. I like that. Momentum in a church is a beautiful thing. Energy's there. Life is there. Excitement is there. Have you ever been on one of our Nails in His Hands project? Have you ever been there when there seems to be critical mass of a gathering? We've got a special outreach, special worship session. It's exciting. It's momentum. When we're all doing something to help the community, it creates a spiritual and relational momentum. It's phenomenal. I like that so much. I've enjoyed it in my many, many years of just being a Christian. Show me where the church is, and I want to be there. To be together just builds such a momentum. Well, look at how exciting the word momentum is and means. Would you take a look at that? We'll just apply that for you to take a look at on your screen. Momentum, the strength or force that something has when it is moving, the strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow to stronger or faster as time passes. Momentum. It's an amazing thing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, the early church saw that momentum. It was an amazing thing. The strength of force comes when things start moving. And things start moving when the church serves. And it really picks up momentum when everybody gets contagiously involved in serving. Oh, I like that. It's amazing. Check it out. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 and 47. And it's in the New Living Translation. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. And they worshiped together at the temple each day and met in the homes for the Lord's Supper. and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow, that is momentum, the strength of force when things are moving. And the momentum really jumps on for the kingdom when everybody starts to serve. That's how momentum really starts to happen. The church moves by serving, and momentum really kicks in when everyone starts serving. There is no movement if no one is serving. That's just really how it is. But people start moving and the numbers increase. The church of Jesus becomes an unstoppable force. It really does. When everyone serves, momentum is contagious. It's like a snowball. You know that old scenario. You have a snowball, beautiful snowy slope. You send that little snowball down a hill and it gathers more snow and it's getting larger and it's increasing in speed. That's what happens when people start to see others serve in a beautiful way. Oh, it's fantastic. Spiritual momentum is contagious. Well, I want to encourage you with that. And it gathers more momentum and it gets larger and the church then expands and it grows. Well, I'm excited because this weekend we want to recognize people that are coming back into church. And they're coming back by the tens, now into the hundreds. We're thrilled about that. And we invite you to continue. Would you continue to be praying for Hope Chapel? We have so many rich, wonderful projects going on, but we really would welcome you one of these days. As our governor is permitting us unlimited seating capacity outdoors in a beautiful white tent housing us all, it's been outstanding. And people are enjoying the atmosphere. But it's beyond a Sunday. We are now reaching our community. We're now helping the needy. And especially during these holiday seasons, it's so important. Thank you for wanting to be a part of that. We can consider possibly calling the church and say, how can I participate? Would you consider possibly stopping by the office? We're here every day. Monday for a little bit for drive-through prayer, maybe even signing up or giving us an email. And especially one of the best ways too is just by making a contribution financially. We'll make sure that that contribution goes to the needs of the community and of the community of believers. There's great needs here as well. Well, I want to just close my Bible for this time being. I want to thank you for being here today. I'm so grateful that we've had a chance to take a look at that. The hope in Hope Chapel is really when people, everyone starts to serve. It's very contagious and it's exciting. And that is what's happening here at Hope Chapel. I know you're a part of it. You've joined us today. I appreciate you listening to this message. Let me pray a blessing over you. Would you consider once again not only giving your life to Jesus, but do something with that life that he's redeemed by the blood, his own blood on the cross. What a giver our God is. He's the first giver. The Bible says, as you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave you, Jesus. It's your choice to pick and choose him as your own savior. He gave his son Jesus that whosoever, and whosoever means anybody, rich or poor, vile or somewhat whole, Jesus has given his life. Would you surrender your life to him? Bible says, will not perish but have everlasting life. A quality called life and a quantity called everlasting life. I want that for you. I know our Heavenly Father wants that for you. Let's take that life of yours now and let's use it in some capacity. Our culture, our society, and our nation need you to jump on board. It's contagious when everyone is serving. And I want to thank you for joining us today. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his countenance to come upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.